Time to play the game!
Welcome back to the game. Tyler Dreiling and Grant Flanders with you the rest of the way, leading you up to coverage of Manhattan High basketball. Boys and girls, both in action tonight at Hayden High School in Topeka, taking on the Wildcats. Boys with a matchup against one of the top recruits in the country. The girls trying to stay atop the Centennial League standing. Should be a good couple of games. John Kurtz and Mitch Fortner are out in Topeka getting set to call those. The girls get started around 6. The boys will follow after that. You can hear all of it here on KOMAN. In this hour, an update from Waco as things continue to get worse for the Bears and for Art Briles. Doesn't look like he's going to be getting a job anytime soon, at least not one in the sport of football. We'll visit the hot stove once again as a former and pretty beloved Royal has found a new home in the major leagues, and it's certainly not a name that I expected to see in the major leagues this year, but it looks like that's going to happen. We'll have You Can't Be Serious to wrap things up at 5:50. To start off this hour, we will talk about K-State basketball and the upcoming stretch for the Wildcats, which is daunting to say the very least. 3 straight games against top 10 opposition, 2 of those on the road, 1 of them against your bitter in-state rival. But it starts tomorrow at 2 o'clock from the Farrell Center in Waco as Bruce Weber's team takes on the number 2 Baylor Bears. Baylor is 20-2 on the year, 7-2 in the Big 12. They are coming off of an emotional loss. They went ahead and went up to Allen Fieldhouse earlier this week, played a very hard game, played pretty well, came up just short in the final minutes, and are a lot of teams that know exactly what that's like. It's not really hard to play KU well for 37 minutes. It is almost impossible to play KU well for 40 minutes in Allen Fieldhouse, and Baylor learned that once again earlier this week. Actually, I saw an absolutely amazing statistic, and you know, you can say what you will about the officiating in Allen Fieldhouse, and I've certainly had a lot to say about that over the years. But this just blows you away. Bill Self has lost 9 games in Allen Fieldhouse in his career. Scott Drew has now lost 10 games in Allen Fieldhouse in his career. Bill Self has lost fewer games as the coach of Kansas at home than Scott Drew has lost at KU. That is absolutely amazing to me. It's going to be a pretty tough task for K-State, which going into this stretch really needed some positive momentum and did not get it, losing in overtime at home to TCU earlier this week or on Wednesday night. And Bruce Weber, trying to keep things positive for his team, knows that the talk is about how daunting this stretch is, but he wants his team to remember that going into a stretch like this does not have to be totally a negative. It can also be viewed as a very big opportunity for his team to right the ship.
You got a great opportunity ahead of you, and you know, you could do something really, really special. Obviously, we got a tough week, tough challenges in front of us, but you know, if you take advantage of the opportunity, you could do something special that probably no one else has done. 3 top teams in 1 week, but you got to come back and have great preparation.
And he makes a good point, and I think that this is something worth pointing out. K-State is firmly on the bubble right now. They are one of the last 4 teams in the field, according to ESPN's Joe Lenardi. That actually comes as a pretty big surprise to some K-State fans who feel that this team is nowhere near the NCAA tournament. They are, but that could change if they go 0-3 over this stretch. But here's something to remember. Out of those bubble teams, you know, we're talking about a group of 12 or 16 teams that you could maybe lump into this. Well, there is no team that gets a bigger opportunity for a bigger win than K-State. I mean, if all, let's say all 12 or all 16 bubble teams won this weekend, K-State gets the biggest boost out of all of them because you are playing the number 2 team in the country and you are doing so on the road. It would be a lot. I mean, it would go beyond just wiping out the TCU loss if you won this game. It would wipe out a couple of losses from your ledger, in my opinion. And so K-State can look at that as a positive. And as I mentioned in the first hour, I don't know what kind of attitude Baylor is going to have for this game after that emotional loss in Allen Fieldhouse, and now with the knowledge that to win the Big 12, you're going to need KU to slip up somewhere along the road. Maybe they don't care a lot about this K-State matchup. Baylor, by the way, I just checked, opened as a 9-point favorite for this game. That's probably about right, but I do think that it's likely that the game will still be in question going into the second half. I don't think K-State's going to go in and get the doors blown off of them. It's possible, and certainly with how K-State has started games in the last couple weeks, you would have to have that concern. I just don't think that that's going to happen this time around. At least for K-State's sake, I hope not.
Yeah, you hope not, but you brought it up in the first hour. Baylor has the height advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Motley is a great rebounder and obviously great on the offensive end. And I will say the first game in Manhattan, K-State did a decent job of making the rebound battle a little more respectable than what it could have been.
Yeah.
Because DJ Johnson's a great rebounder, but it's sort of unfair to him. He has to play center at his size because he's going up against a monster like
right.
Jonathan Motley, who's 6'11".
You know, K-State's offense is good enough to keep the team in games with regards to just making sure that they get baskets on a consistent basis. They can keep K-State makes enough shots to keep the team in the games, but where you can lose ground is on those second chance opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Baylor goes down and has a bunch of second chance opportunities and stretches a 4-point lead to a 7-point lead because of an offensive rebound and a kick out and a three, that's where you can lose a lot of games. And we've seen that with this team, including against TCU. TCU had a lot of offensive rebounds in that game, and I don't think that they even get the game to overtime had that not been the case. Now, Bruce Weber says, and it's pretty obvious here, but for his team to win this one against Baylor, they're going to have to be a lot more locked in than they have been in their last couple ball games.
We did a good job of getting the ball inside to DJ Johnson. We were able to get Motley in some foul trouble. We got to try to see if we can exploit that if possible. I mean, and just we just got to have everyone play good basketball. You're not going to beat a top team. You're not going to win games in the league if you don't have everybody playing well.
Well, he's certainly correct about that. And something else that's really important is for K-State to keep its head up. I mean, there are a lot of, I'll just phrase it this way, there's a lot of noise around the program right now. And it is important, it is critical, if they are going to make the NCAA tournament, that they do not allow that noise to penetrate the walls of the locker room. All of the discussion about Bruce Weber's job status, the questions about, you know, who may look to transfer away from K-State if there is a change in leadership with the coaching staff, or even if the coaches stay the same. There's just so many transfers in college basketball. I mean, there's a lot of ways that K-State can lose sight of the mission at hand by listening to that. And so Bruce Weber says that his team, it's just paramount that they keep a good attitude moving forward, no matter what that extra noise is.
I mean, that's all we can do. Got to give TCU credit last night. They're coming off a four-game losing streak. And, you know, their guys stepped up and made shots, made plays, found a way to win. They've had a lot of close games. Now we got to, you know, this is about character and toughness and a will to win. And you know, we got to go there with just a great focus at Baylor first. That's all you can worry about.
Yeah, you can't look at this stretch. If you're a player or a coach, you can't look at this as, man, the next three games are really hard. It has to be Baylor and Baylor only. You can't look at playing KU on Monday and be thinking about that, because it's going to be hard enough to just worry about this one opponent.
It's so true, because they really need to get one of these three games. As huge as these next three games is, you do have to look at them individually, because winning one of them is so important. Because after these three games, what big win would you get?
Yeah, that's actually a good way of looking at it. I've mentioned that K-State's schedule gets a lot easier, and that is good news to a certain extent, because you are going to have better chances to win those games down the stretch, those last six games. But at the same time, you're not going to get as big of a boost with the computers by doing so. If you go 0-3 over this stretch, I think you got to go 5-1 over your last six. There's a big difference between 5-1 and 4-2. If you're able to get one of these next three, then that gives you a little bit more breathing room down the stretch if the recipe to get to the NCAA tournament is going 9-9 in the Big 12. That's just the way that I look at it mathematically. There was certainly a time when I thought K-State needed to go 10-8, but the Big 12 has done a lot better than I expected, has proven to be a lot deeper than I expected, and they are the number one RPI conference in the nation. So at 9-9, you would be a bubble team, but I think you would feel pretty good about your chances of getting in unless there are a whole bunch of those bubble-bursting teams that are from the mid-major conferences that win their conference tournaments over teams that are going to be at-larges.
And what's one of the most important things of getting bubble teams into the tournament, they look at those big wins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just another reason what makes these next three games that important.
They look at big wins and or road wins, mm-hmm. and tomorrow's game has a chance to be both for K-State. It's not likely to happen, but I have seen enough quality basketball from this team. A lot of people saying that, you know, this team is garbage and, you know, they can't do anything right. Look, they've won 15 games this year. They're not Missouri.
Yeah.
They're not Missouri with five wins. They've won 15 games. They've played really good basketball for the majority of their season. They are good enough to win this game if they play really well, and Baylor hopefully helps them out by not being totally locked in on their opponent tomorrow. But we're going to have to wait and see. You can hear the game here on News Radio KMAN. As I mentioned, tip-off at 2 o'clock from the Ferrell Center in Waco. Our coverage will start at 1 o'clock from the K-State Sports Network. Going to go to our next break. When we come back, boy, a lot of Baylor conversation on today's show. We're going to switch it over to Baylor football. New report last night has some very, very indicting text messages from Art Briles that basically prove what so many had feared was going on with the Baylor program. We'll talk about it coming up next.